Amen. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 6 tonight. Luke chapter 6. We've been learning about the Lord Jesus Christ and being challenged in a lot of different ways. But tonight we're being challenged to consider his lordship. Have you ever heard somebody say you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Ever heard that? I remember hearing that growing up. I remember saying it a lot of times in preaching. I don't say that too often anymore because the reality is Jesus is Lord. You can't make him Lord of your life. He is Lord of your life. He's Lord of all things. He's the Lord of lords. He is above all things. But what we need to do is recognize that he is Lord, and we need to live as though he is Lord. And so when we say make him the Lord of your life, we understand what that means. We're not making him something. We're not putting him in that position. He is in that position. But what we're doing is putting ourselves under his authority and living with him as Lord. And in our text tonight, we're going to see in verse 46 in just a moment, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, we live in a society where many people claim the title of Christian, but they choose to live a life of complete disobedience to the word of God. Amen. Anybody else see that going on? Where we have Christian t-shirts, we have Christian emblems on our cars, a lot of people have Christian tattoos, a lot of people post Christian things on their Facebook, but right behind all of those outward expressions is a life that is in complete disobedience to the word of God. Right. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight, friends. We are all sinners. Amen. Let me give you another chance, okay? Make sure everybody understands tonight. We are all sinners. Okay, I am a sinner, but I've been saved by grace. Now, I may fall into sin. I do commit sin from time to time, but I do not live in sin. I am not continuing in sin. I do not run to sin. Now, all of those things were true about my life at one time. I didn't fall in sin. I ran to sin. I didn't just sin occasionally or fall into sin. I continued in sin. That defined my life. And what I'm trying to tell you is when you've truly been born again, you don't continue like that. You're changed. Amen. God changes you from the inside out. And so we want to understand there are people, even in faithful, Bible-believing Baptist churches, who are not living with Christ as Lord of their life. Amen. It's easy to point our fingers at those around us who are living in sin, but too many times we're just as guilty of calling Christ our Lord, but then not doing what he calls us to do. And so tonight, as we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to encourage you not to be thinking of other people who obviously haven't made Jesus the Lord of their life, but rather that we would do what the Bible is intended to do and look at it as a mirror and see ourselves tonight. And examine ourselves. Listen, friends, we need God's word to change us. Amen. And every time we come and we are under the preaching of the word of God, we should be changed. And if we leave unchanged, there's something wrong. Amen. Because God's word and God's spirit are intended to make changes in our lives. Amen. And if that's not happening, then there's a disconnect somewhere. And so let's look to God to speak to our hearts tonight. And let's be, right now, already make up our minds, we're going to be obedient to what God convicts us about tonight. Let's stand together if you're able. Luke chapter 6 and verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. Our Heavenly Father, please help us tonight to see Christ high and lifted up, magnified and glorified. Lord, help us to be broken tonight in our spirits, to be humble before you. As you convict our hearts by your Spirit, Lord, help us just to be real. Help us to be vulnerable before you. And Lord, help us to see in your word who we really are and be changed by your word. As we look into the scriptures and see the glory of Christ, that we would be changed into that same glory, that we would be conformed to the image of your dear Son. Lord, make us like Jesus, we pray. That you would bless tonight We pray that you would convict our hearts. We pray that souls will be saved and lives will be changed, that people will follow you, identify with you in baptism, serve you faithfully in the church. Lord, convict our hearts. Help us to be obedient as your Spirit leads tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. We need to learn tonight, friends, that we must follow the Lord. We have no direction, no wisdom. We must follow the Lord. We need to follow the Lord because of blindness that hinders us. We're blind without the Lord. We are as lost as sheep who wander astray. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Not some of us, but all of us like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. We're naturally blind spiritually, but God has given us a light so we can know the right way. Psalm 119, 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We are spiritually blind, but God has given us light. In Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. And God has given us a way to see the truth and to know the truth. We need to spend time in God's word in order to get out of our spiritual blindness. We desperately need to spend time in God's word. No matter how busy, no matter how hectic your life may be, we need to make spending time in God's word a priority. We need to make spending quality time in God's word a priority. Amen. I promise you this, without it, your life will still be hectic and busy, but you'll be trying to go through life like a blind man. Your life's going to be hectic and busy whether you get in your Bible or not. You realize that? But how you navigate life will change dramatically. Amen. We need to get in God's word. We need to have a daily devotional time. I encourage you to spend time in God's word every morning. Don't leave your house without spending time in God's word. No Bible, no breakfast. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is read my devotional. The second thing I do after I read my devotional is to read my daily scripture reading. A lot of you are going through our Bible reading plan that we put out this year. I'm really loving it. The last several years, we've had a through the Bible in a year plan. That's about 3 chapters every day. That's a lot of reading. And it's not too much. Listen, it takes about 40 hours total time to read through your Bible, about 40 hours for the average person to read all the way through the Bible. That's a work week. No, I don't know anybody that's going to just have the time to go and just start at 8 o'clock every day and end at 5 every day and do nothing but read their Bible. But it's not a lot of time. But I'm telling you, when you're reading 3 or 4 chapters a day, it's hard to process that. But when we're right now, we're going through the Bible with our Bible reading plan, you'll get all the way through the Bible in 3 years. It comes down to about 1 chapter a day. And you have time to digest that. And as you read God's word, you ought to pray and look to God and try to have a heart that says, Lord, teach me. Lord, help me to see Christ. Lord, change me. And read your Bible every day. We have our Bible reading schedule. We have our devotional books. And I've encouraged and challenged you since the first Sunday this year to spend time together in God's word as a family. This church was generous enough to spend the money to buy a devotional book for every family. And we give one away to any guest that comes that'll take it. We give a devotional book to them because we want families to spend time together in God's word. Listen, I know that you're busy. I know there's a lot of stuff going on. And I'm not going to say that there's never been a night when we get home at 10:30 or 11 o'clock and we're trying to get the kids to bed, that devotional time, it's hard to get done. But on most nights, 99.5% of the nights, it's not that hard after the kids get ready to bed, that we bring them into the living room or we go into their bedroom. It doesn't matter where, but we open up the devotional book and we read the scriptures together and we read the devotional thought and we talk about it and we pray together as a family. Friends, that will change your family. Amen. We look into the Old Testament. They had the morning and the evening sacrifice every day. every day. You know, the question was raised a while back, why do we have Sunday night church? Why do we do that? Why has the church always done that? And in the little bit of research I've done, that's the only answer I can find. The church has patterned our services after the Old Testament, that they had the morning and the evening sacrifices, that every morning they started with worship to God and every evening they ended with worship to God. It's not a bad idea to do at your house. How many of you have children at home still? You see your hands? How many of you are empty nesters? Which is better? Kids at home, bless you. God bless you. How many of you like your grandkids better than your own children? I'm going to pray for you. Pray for you. I'm telling you right now that especially those of you that have kids at home, you have no idea how important it is to spend time in God's Word together. Amen. And you can kick yourself about yesterday in the past and not getting it done. Some of you that your kids are grown and gone, you can kick yourself about how you wish you'd have done it different. You can't change yesterday, but you could change today. You can change today. Listen to me. If you think sending them to Sunday school, if you think you've got it done because you bring them to church every time the doors are open, those are good things and they're important things, but that will not get it done. Amen. You have to teach the Word of God at home. It is your mandate from God. Train up a child in the way that he should go. It's your children. Amen. They're our responsibility. My responsibility to train up my children. Your responsibility to train up your children. And by the way, Grandma and Grandpa, when the grandkids come over, you ought to spend time in the Bible with those grandkids. They ought to know that it's real and it's something more than just what we do on Sundays. We have so many resources with our devotional books, our Bible reading schedules. So many people, I get a daily devotional in my email every morning. I mean, there's just so many resources out there. Most of you have Bible apps on your phone, and they have devotional readings and devotional thoughts and Bible reading schedules. We are without excuse in America today to not be in our Bibles. We're without excuse. Now, some of you say, well, I can't read very good. Well, guess what? I've got four different Bible apps that'll read the Bible to me. Are you to me? It's available. If you don't, if you say, well, I don't have a smartphone, I don't have any way, and I can't read, you let me know. I will get you the Bible on CD, because you probably still have a CD player. If you don't, I will try to find on eBay a cassette, a set of cassettes that have the Bible on cassette. Listen, there is a way. The Wonder Bible, yes. There is a way. There's a way for you to get into God's Word. And we've got to get in God's Word, and we've got to follow what it says. There are a lot of spiritual leaders, people in leadership positions in churches today that are spiritually blind. You need to understand, 1 Timothy 1, 6 and 7 says, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Vain jangling is foolish questions. Desiring to be teachers of law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. There are leaders in churches that don't know the Word of God. You don't need to take my word for it. You ought to study to show yourself approved unto God. You ought to examine the Scriptures to see whether the things that I'm saying are true or not. We've got to learn to follow the Lord. There is a responsibility to follow the Lord and to follow right leadership. There's a responsibility for the leadership to be right. There's also a responsibility for the followership to be right. 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4 says, for the time will come, well, they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It's my responsibility to know the truth and to preach the truth and to teach the truth, but it's your responsibility to hear the truth and obey the truth. We all have to follow Too many people do not want to endure sound doctrine. They don't want to listen. But a growing Christian will recognize the need in his walk with Christ to follow spiritual leaders who are following Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Amen. Follow me as I follow Jesus. That's what Paul preached. Follow me as I follow Jesus. And as long as you know that I'm following Christ, it's important for you to follow your pastor. But when we follow, what are we following after? Our goal is not to be a group of people who keep a certain set of rules and regulations. Do this, don't do that. Our goal is Christ. Amen. He is our goal. We desperately need the Lord in everything we do. And we need to make Christ the goal in everything. Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Luke 6:40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now, some of you get real scared about this word perfect, because for us, perfect means to be without flaw. Perfect means to not have anything wrong with us. But the word perfect in Scripture means mature. It means to be grown up. We need to grow in spiritual maturity, and our spiritual maturity means when we reach maturity, we'll be like Christ. That's the goal. The goal is to be like Him. We all have influences in our life, people that we want to be like. There was a pastor in a small town wrote about the influence he had on his sons that he didn't even realize. When he was a young pastor, he said, I worked at a feed processing plant in Salina, Ohio. Each night when I went home, my boys would look at me and say, "Boy, Dad, you sure are dusty." I grumbled within myself, but smiled at them and said, "Yep, I sure am dusty." But one Saturday morning, he said, I went out and was washing my car, and as I did, my oldest son, who was 4 years old at the time, started picking up rocks in our driveway and rubbing them on his pants. He said, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "I want to be dusty like you, Dad." He said, "I realized that if a son would look up to his father for being dusty, he would look up to Dad for anything." What a responsibility. What a responsibility. If we want to be followers of Christ and we want to lead other people to follow Christ, we've got to get our minds right. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. If we want to be led by Christ and lead others to Christ, then we've got to have the mind of Christ. And that was a mind of humility and sacrifice. It was a mind of humility and sacrifice. Jesus Christ came to be a servant. Jesus Christ came to be a sacrifice. And we've got to learn to follow him by walking in humility. Let's go back to our text in verse 41, Luke 6:41. This is a pretty familiar passage. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, 'Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye,' when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye." You guys still with me? Look at what he says. "Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye?" It is so easy to see problems in other people. Isn't it? It's so easy to see what's wrong with you people. I'm just telling you, when it doesn't matter. You sit in your place and look around the room and you can see what's wrong with everybody else. And I sit in my place and look around. I see what's wrong with everybody else. You do it at church. You guys that are in school, you do it at school. You guys that are at work, you do it at work. You guys that are retired, but you go to town, you see it with everybody else. It's not hard for me to see what's wrong with other people. All I do is get in my car and drive down the road. I see something wrong everywhere I go. It's so easy. And he says, why behold us? Why are you looking at the mote that's in your brother's eye? Why are you looking to find something wrong with somebody else? Why? But perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye. It's an amazing thing spiritually that we can have a beam. That's a large hunk of wood. That's a log. We got a log sticking out of our eye, and yet we can clearly see around that, through that, and see a tiny little speck, a piece of straw that's in somebody else's eye. That's an amazing skill that we have. It's an amazing thing that we can not even see what's wrong with us. That's why I started the lesson by asking you to look into God's Word. It's a mirror. It's like looking in a glass, a mirror, when we look in the Word of God. We're not here tonight to look around and see what's wrong with everybody else. We're here tonight to look and see who Christ is and where we're deficient, so that we can make gains to be more like Christ. So why you behold that, but you can't perceive, you can't even understand your own problem? Either, how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. I want to tell you, friends, I don't think many of us ever get past this part. We've got to get the beams out of our own eyes before we can ever help somebody else. Some people have made it their personal mission in the church to find the problems with everybody else and try to take care of them. I guess that might be a step better than finding the problems with everybody else and then gossiping about it. From what we've got to do is look into our own lives. And we've got to get right, thoroughly right with Jesus, because we do need to be able to help other people. We do need to help one another. We do need to sharpen one another. We do need to go to a brother who's struggling in sin and in a spirit of meekness help them to get right with Jesus. We need that. We need that. But we've got to deal with our own selves first. You might think it's selfish, but I pray for myself before I pray for anybody else. I've got to. Listen, how many of you have flown on a commercial airline? How many of you have done that? Okay, most of you have. You know, they give you the spiel at the beginning, right? This is a seatbelt. This is how it works, you know? I've always been amazed by that, because when I was, you know, two, I knew how a seatbelt worked. But federal regulations require that they tell you that. And in the middle of the spiel, they've got one of those air masks, the oxygen mask, and they say, if this pops down, this is how it works, right? And they tell you, if you have someone with you, like children, to put your own mask on first and then help them. Amen. And I remember the first time I flew, I was pretty young, and I thought, man, that's awful. Mom's going to put hers on and just leave me over here dying? I remember that stood out in my mind. I'm like, that is not right. But it is right, because I'm going to need help, and if mama's passed out, she can't help me. And friends, when you wake up every day, you better get yourself thoroughly right with Jesus and stay thoroughly right with Jesus, or you can't help anybody else. And that's what he's saying. Deal with your own sin. I love the perspective that he gives too. We tend to see other people's sin as worse than our sin. We tend to try to put degrees on how bad sin is. And usually where we divide the line is if it's a sin I struggle with, it's a small sin. If it's a sin that you struggle with, it's a big sin. That's how we divide it. And here's the reality. Sin is sin. It's all transgression of the law. Now listen, I'm not trying to pretend tonight that murder is not worse than lying, because murder is judiciously worse than lying. I get that. But we understand that sin is sin. It's a violation of God's law. And we don't get to categorize it and say your sin's worse than my sin. But the perspective that Jesus gives is my sin is a beam. Your sin is a moat. Isn't that interesting that that's the perspective that he gives us? He doesn't line out the sins here. He doesn't identify them. He just says your sin is a beam. Their sin is a moat. And that's the perspective we ought to have. My sin is bigger and worse than your sin, and I need to get right with Jesus. Look now at verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The biggest reason we refuse to do what the Lord wants us to do is pride. We want to do what we want to do. As a matter of fact, I would go a step further. People do what they want to do. You're here tonight because you wanted to be here. There may be some people here tonight that are here against their will, but that's because their parents drug them here against their will. That's the best kind of drug problem, right? My mama drugged me to church. But we are here tonight because we want to be here. And if you give in to temptation tomorrow to sin, it's because you want to. But when we have a greater desire to do what God wants us to do, those want-tos change. We need to see the need for growth. The reality is, if you're here tonight, there's a good chance that you want to see good fruit in your life. The tree in these verses, verse 43 and verse 44, the tree represents our heart. The fruit represents what's visible in our lives, our actions and our attitudes. The way you act, the things you say, the way you dress, the things you do. What do those factors say about your heart? The visible things in your life, your attitudes and actions that people can see, what does it say about your heart? Because what's visible in your life is indicative of what's in your heart. What makes a person say things that are harsh? What makes a person dress in an inappropriate manner? What makes a person continue to sin against God even after we consider all that God has done for us? The fruits reveal the condition of the roots. And we need to come to a place where we're not afraid. We care more about what God wants us to be and do than we do our own desires. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. We need to care enough about what God wants us to be and do that we would go to him and say, God, show me. Show me my mind. Show me my heart. Show me what needs to change. Lead me in the right way. And most of us are terrified to pray a prayer like that because we know things need to change and we don't want to change. We know what God wants to remove from our lives and we don't want to let it go. That's why we've got to set aside our pride, the desires of the flesh, and make up our minds that Christ is my Lord and I'm going to follow him. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is Jesus Lord? Is he Lord? We say that he's Lord. We sing the songs, we pray the prayers. We are those who would say, Lord, Lord. But are we doing the things that he says? The end of this chapter, he gives us what you guys remember. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man builds his house on the sand. What's the difference? The wise man builds his house on the rock. What is that? That's he that hears the sayings of Jesus and does them. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The foolish man hears the word of Jesus, says, Lord, Lord, but doesn't obey. He's building his house on sand, and he may have a house, but when trouble comes, it's going to fall. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We've got to get in the word, stay in the word, build our house on the word. This man that hears the word of Jesus and does it is a man that builds a house, digs deep, and lays the foundation on a rock. That's what we need to strive for. That's what we need to be. We need to be careful how we build. Jesus Christ is the only foundation. In Acts 4, 10 through 12, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other foundation that we can lay than to trust in Christ. Once he is laid, once he is our Savior, we begin to build on him by being obedient to his word. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. We look into the word of God, we see ourselves, we see Christ, we see the deficiency, we see the distance between who Christ is and where we are. And every time we look into the word of God, he wants to make a change in us to bridge that gap, to bring us closer to him, to conform us to the image of his son. I want to ask you a question tonight while we get ready for a verse of invitation. Let me ask you a couple of questions. You guys stand with me, please. I don't want you to raise your hand. I don't want you to nod your head or anything. I just want you to process this in your heart and mind, okay? Are you in the word of God daily? You don't have to nod your head. Don't raise your hand. Nothing. Just right here inside yourself. Are you in the word of God daily? If the answer to that question is no, you need to make Jesus the Lord of your life tonight. You need to recognize that he is Lord, and you need to make a commitment to be in his word every day. Lord, help me to be in your word. For those of you that would say, yeah, I'm in the word every day, I want to ask you this. Are you really in the word every day? Because there's a difference between reading something and checking it off a list and being in the word, seeking the face of God in his word. When you're in the word of God, does it change you? Listen, I read my Bible every day, and I'm going to be honest with you tonight, it does not always change me. And it should. Should. So I'm asking you tonight to make a commitment to get really, really, really get in the Word of God. Start reading and studying every day, seeking the face of God in his Word. He is Lord, and we cannot say that he's Lord if we're not doing the things that he says. We can't do the things that he says if we don't know the things that he says. So we've got to get in the word. Be faithful in church every time the doors are open. Be submissive to the preaching of the word of God. And be faithful to get in his word day by day on your own. If he's convicting your heart this evening, you respond tonight while we sing.